Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Nick Stahl, and you're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Cool.
Hey, survivors, welcome to episode 84 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
Hey, we're back.
We are.
Yes, for covering Fear. Oh, gosh, I don't even remember. It's been a while since we were doing this show.
It has, man.
Oh, we're back, and it's a lot of craziness, as I can see from this episode. But, all right, well, we will be covering Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 1, titled The Beacon. But first, we got a 5-star review, a new one.
Woohoo!
I know.
By the way, I'm here too. I'm Brian, but I'll only be here in a limited capacity again.
Okay. I was wondering if you were joining us or not in limited capacity.
Sometimes.
Awesome. All right. Well, jump in whenever you feel needed.
Yes, I will.
Cool. All right. Well, though, we did get a new 5-star review, which is awesome because we haven't gotten a review in a while on iTunes. It came from TVholics from the United States, and 5 stars said, my number one TWD podcast. This is the only podcast that covers and reviews the Walking Dead universe that I subscribe to. Brian, Kyle, and LT have great chemistry. The information is both insightful and informative and are really fun to listen to. Keep up the great work, guys. Yay! Ah, thank you, TVholics.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, happy to, get some feedback or get some, reviews. We do this and, it's like we have our listeners and I'm sure there's many more listeners that we just haven't heard from yet. So if you're one of those, reach out.
Yeah. I meant to take a look to see when the last time, one of our podcasts got a review, and I didn't get a chance to look at that, but I believe it's been over a year. So
I think it's been more than over a year.
Yeah, I was trying to be polite.
Okay.
I can look that up. So I will look that up, actually.
I was going to say, Brian, the little furry hat comes with me wherever I go. So.
All right. Well, this is the start of Fear, and we didn't really have anything from last season to carry over. So let's get into this week's episode, Fear the Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 1, titled The Beacon, written by Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, and directed by Michael E. Satrazimus. Description is, in the aftermath of nuclear destruction, Strive thrives in the new world. All right, well, let's just go into our ratings. I'll just throw it to you first, LT. What'd you rate this episode?
Well, I gave this week 8 out of 10, Padres.
I was kind of having a hard kind of time on how I was rating this. Just, I don't know why. It's like it's took me, I guess, a while to kind of like get out of Walking Dead and then into Fear. So I'm going to just kind of maybe give this a little bit of a lower rating to start, just because it was like there were some issues that I had with it, but I was just going to give it a 7 Geiger counters.
Well, and I'll agree with you. I had some issues as well, but as I have been known to do in the past, despite the issues, I still really liked the episode.
Yeah, I think it was kind of maybe a little part of just like it's been a while and it was kind of like getting reacclimated to basically the world of Fear. And I think just some of the problems I had, I kind of was like, I don't want to be given, I'm kind of always like consistent in my ratings. So I was kind of like, you know what? I might try to like kind of give this a little bit more of like, okay, it's the first episode of season 7. It was good. There were some issues, but you know, hey, I think a 7 is still, that's still pretty good.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that we'll get into is for the most part, I like this episode maybe more than some of the stuff we saw in season 10 of the main show.
Yeah. Oh, well, look forward to hearing some of that. Well, all right. Well, let's get into our listeners' ratings then.
I do have a rating, even though I don't have anything written down.
Oh, well, go ahead and give your rating then.
It's a 9.
Oh. That's it. Just a 9.
Well, I guess that's all I get because you just rolled over me. So,
well, I didn't see anything there. That's all I deserve
this week. So I am way behind on everything in my whole life right now. So I need to step away and reduce some of my duties this week. So that's why I'm not participating full time. I liked the turn of Strand kept me guessing throughout the episode. Is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? And at the end, we got to know. And, you know, I think that's going to be interesting because I think that it's he's made a turn. He's gone down a road that he's not going to be able to come back from, I think. So that's why it's a 9 for me. But I enjoyed it. I agree with you, LT, that I think that it was better than a lot of the season 10 episodes and certainly better than the season 11 episodes of the main. So, and of course, you know, that other show, it's better than every episode of that.
And I think that when we get into the sauce, I'm definitely going to hit on this, but I think Strand has not only taken a turn for the more sinister, is that I'm thinking Strand is probably going to be more Negan-y than people are expecting.
Yeah. I agree. All right. I didn't mean to derail everything, Kyle. So
sorry. I should have asked you. I just didn't see anything.
My sauces are going to be limited this week. I only got a chance to watch it once. And I watched it before Sunday. So, because I have AMC Plus. So it's not really fresh in my head, but I really did enjoy the episode. So that's about mostly what I have to say. So.
Awesome.
Nothing bad that I have to say about it. Just, I enjoyed it. So, oh, and I'll just say, hi, Aaron. It's good to hear from you. Yeah. So that's it.
Awesome.
If something comes to mind while, cause I'll be kind of listening while this is going on, but working, on work stuff. So if something comes to mind, I'll just wave my hand or something.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
That works. All right, guys. Later.
All right. Bye, Brian. All right. Well, let's get on to our listeners' ratings. Well, Dieta from Detroit, she says, I rate this episode 8 out of 10. Victor is the new Virginia and Teddy combined. What the hell?
Oh, I think he's someone else, Dieta.
Yeah. I think we kind of mentioned that already.
Glenn from Toronto says, 8 out of 10, kill Wills.
I saw that. I almost wanted to kind of steal it, but thank you, Glennis. And Aaron from the internet gave it 8 spaghettis and booze dinners out of 10. All right. Well, that leads us into our awesome sauce. And our first one comes from Dieta, and she says her awesome sauce is the radioactive walkers and all their grossly gruesomeness and nudity. Yeah, notice that nude one that was walking towards Will or whatever.
Yep.
They had some, they definitely have more nudity in this episode than I've seen in a very long time in a lot of shows.
I'm going to ramble about that momentarily.
What did they think they were? Lower Decks?
It's the naked apocalypse.
Well, I mean, there's people stealing clothes from them, so.
Okay. Well, Glennis from Toronto says, Strand decked out in his battle coat and military style hat, and like every American Revolutionary general dictator worth their salt, must have had their trusty sword. Those Walker kills he made in the orange fallout mist were killer when he told Will to take cover.
Yep. Yeah, Strand and the sword. And then Erin from the internet, she says it was all about an original Fear character this week, and the sub-character they mentioned was original too. It felt almost like old times, smiley face. I enjoyed seeing Strand be his complex self, but I dislike it took 10 minutes to get to him. They can try all they want to make him a bad guy, but we know he has decency in him, and Alicia can turn him back enough at any time. And even though he says she'll want nothing to do with him, these two are our only consistent OGs left. So if nothing else, they'll bond over that. Ha! This really did take me back to feeling of the old seasons, and I loved it. And she goes on, I feel like if Alicia does take out Strand, they'll go together killing each other because they can't be alone, and then original fans can be free of this series, because for the most part, it's often not Fear anymore. Thank you, Erin. I mean, I can kind of see some of that, those points. But let's go into our own awesome sauce. I guess I'll just start with mine. And I mean, there were some fun and cool things about the episode. I did have some kind of like, you know, like meh, like whatever. But I mean, a little one is like Will's from Oklahoma. So I was like, Boomer Sooner. Yes. Oklahoma represents. The wasteland was pretty cool as Will was scavenging through it in the beginning, like that whole cold open. Like they did really, I don't know, like the set designs or art direction or whatever. It's like they really made it really cool of like how, like, you know, what it would be like after a nuclear bomb went off, and like
they
kinda
definitely had the sepia tone going this time.
Oh yeah, tons. And it was like, it was just really cool, like seeing just like he was going around looking at, you know, I guess basically charting, you know, the map to, like, I guess, look for food, or, you know, if he was looking for survivors or like what he was looking for, and just like scavenging. But, you know, it was like each one was almost kind of a little different. Like there was one where it was like everything was on fire behind him, you know, and then there's another one where he came across, you know, like a pond or something like that, and all the fish were all like, just dead on the ground, or like, you know, above the water. But, like just the whole beginning, it really was, I thought it was really well done. It looked really, really cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And again, the walkers were pretty cool this episode. And it's like, you know, we seem to get the fun time type of walkers in Fear and not in The Walking Dead. Like, and I think probably because they're having a lot more, they're putting our characters or the shows and the settings in like so many different kind of like environments that they're not, you know, they're not doing on The Walking Dead, because that's just not really there. Like, no one's going to blow.
You could be vaguely cynical and say, well, if you kind of put it in football terms, they have a lot less salary cap to worry with in Fear, so maybe they can afford more practical effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'd also say that there's, since you're bringing up the Boomer Sooner, you know, it's kind of like Hail Mary passes, and, you know, because they might, you know, hit one out of the park, so to speak. I'm doing mixing my sports references, but but anyway, they're taking chances with their walkers that the main show doesn't as much. But also, I would say that they varied it up quite a lot, and they've, I don't know. I guess you could say that they've covered more ground.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's that much more ground, but but it seems like they have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, you know, what was it like, what, 2 seasons ago, and we got the embalmed walker, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, that seems to be like they're finding more ways to do fun stuff because of what's going, you know, like where the settings of where our characters are. It's like, I don't know. Walking Dead is pretty kind of like pretty standard fare, I would say. Just like, it's just the, you know, of what we've had over the last, you know, 11 seasons. And Fear is like been changing and doing all these crazy things, but it's like with that becomes a lot of fun ways you can do new walkers now. And so I don't know.
Because, you know, Fear had the sorghum tank walkers, and they had the post tank town walkers. And maybe they've had some a few swampy bloated walkers.
Yeah.
And I think the trick effect makeup has been more of a thing in Fear.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. Yeah, for sure. And well, and then to my last point, or my last awesome saws, and it's like, it was cool again how they're using walkers in the show. It's like there was that scene where Strand is like using the walkers to drag that lighthouse beacon back to the tower. Like, I don't think we've ever seen walkers. We've seen it on this show being used as like a resource and like, hey, we'll use them to go to work for us, you know, especially like when it was like in Tank Town, you know, and they were using it to push the pump or whatever the deal was for the oil.
Right.
But then here again, we're seeing Strand's just basically on his horse, like leading the walkers, and the walkers are all tied up pulling this, you know, lighthouse beacon. And like, I don't know. It's just like such a creative use on Fear that they're doing, and they're, you know, having fun, and we're getting to see that because it's kind of like, gosh, you know, it's like there's, you know, we've never seen that in the main show, and it's cool seeing this because I'm like, why wouldn't you think that? I'm like, oh yeah, like we've seen Michonne use them to like basically like kind of use them as cover, but that's basically it. So I don't know. I thought this was really awesome when I noticed that. I was like, oh wow, that's kind of smart.
Using them to pull the wagons.
Yeah, it was like, that's smart and that's cool. All right, yeah, that was pretty much all I had for my awesome sauce.
Okay, well, one thing I brought up that you talked about, they were definitely going for that post-apocalypse, and I always go back to my favorite video game franchise. They're always going for the Fallout look. And like I said earlier, they had the low-hanging mist and the burnt trees and kind of the sepia filter and the dust. I've got some questions about that later that I'm going to have to throw out. But for the most part, the set design for the areas that got hit by the nuke, they did an exceptional job of showing the difference between the affected areas. And then when you get back to Strand's tower, the fact that it's fairly isolated and looks like it's in pretty good shape, and they don't have all the fallout and all the, you know, blast effects and post blast effects and things that you're seeing in other places. So that was, you know, again, big props to the design crew for the set dressing.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I was going to say I have to go with awesome sauce for the way that Strand has gone all Mussolini Negan. You know, the fact that he's wearing his garrison cap, and for those of you who are not prior service, if I refer to it as a piss cutter, that's the nice term for a flat cap like that. But, you know, he's got the little, you know, Stan collared jacket, and he's got the Sam Brown belt, and he's wearing the boots and almost the riding Jodhpurs. And when he's walking around out on the roof and he's carrying his umbrella.
yeah.
And I, okay, so it's Mussolini, Negan, and maybe, you know, some Idi Amin thrown in there, but he's got the whole dictator vibe down. And I mean, we knew that Strand had that manipulative streak because we saw it when he started taking over the Rangers, and we saw it when he stood up against Virginia. And we've seen it in previous seasons before that, but now this is like all of his dictatorial aspirations have come to fruition, that he has a group of people that are following him, that are willing to do what he says. He's got, you know, a willing co-conspirator, yes man, in the historian there. And I just think that this is going to build up pretty big, because I guarantee you when Morgan finally shows up, I can see that the, you know, pre-season artwork is going to come to fruition, because I can see them two butting heads pretty hard, pretty fast.
Yep.
We've already talked about the practical effects for the walkers, and just to kind of get into that a little bit, you saw some that, you know, had some exposure damage, because there was a couple that were kind of melty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a couple that had, you could tell that they had been burned pretty badly. Just as a side note, for those of you who may not were aware, on that scene at the underpass where Will had his van, you'll notice that there were profiles like silhouettes that were burned onto the concrete.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is reminiscent of some things that actually happened in Japan at Hiroshima, that there were people who were close to the blast that were exposed to the flash, and it actually permanently burned their shadow into the wall of a building, even though the rest of the blast destroyed their bodies. So that's kind of why they did that, if you wondered. Some of the naked people, I think there's maybe two reasons for that. One is they may have been exposed enough that the force of the blast actually blew their clothes off. And B, whoever these stalkers are, you know, maybe they're out scavenging the newly dead and stealing their equipment and their clothes. So maybe that's why they're naked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like the fact that Will was prescient enough that he had his shelter with the Mylar blankets lining the inside, which is, you know, not only to keep the radiation away, which is why he had the doors duct taped shut, but also to minimize light exposure, so that if he's in there with the lantern on making notes at night, it's not going to give away his position by having a lot of ambient light sneaking out. So I thought that was actually probably one of the best things I've seen as far as somebody actually trying to survive in a vehicle that was cognizant of the fact that they're in a hostile environment.
Yeah.
I did like the fact that they were trying to have people wearing some type of protection from dust and exposure, that they were wearing protective masks and they were wearing, you know, parkas that were like rubberized. I'll complain about what I didn't like about that in a bit, but the fact that they're actually trying to think and say, okay, how would you actually protect yourself if you were in an environment that there was radioactive dust on the ground and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think my final awesome sauce is, to me, the showrunners are definitely going harder at writing better stories than some of the things we've seen in the main show. I may have to eat my words later in the run. They may drop the ball, but at this point, I'm thinking that they are building a plot line up that is more coherent and sustainable and going to be more interesting than some of the things we've seen previously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so.
I do too.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people will disagree mm-hmm. because they've just, I don't know, they've the stench of this show has not worn off to them. Well, but I don't know.
And that's true. And that's very true.
To me, the show has been better more than it's been bad. But when it's been bad, it's been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. And I'll be the first to admit that, you know, I am a convert back to the show that, you know, I didn't survive the first two seasons because I disliked it so much. I think that it's gotten better, and I guess we will see if they can keep it going. And I agree with you. Good, bad, or indifferent, there are some people who, if they're disappointed in the first few episodes, will give up. Or they'll get to a point and they'll say, nope, not going to watch it anymore. And just to use my favorite example of that is look at, say, the first two episodes of Discovery or the first three or four episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Not the best stories of the run. But a lot of people were put off in the beginning and they didn't come back to it when, as most of us would concur, that Discovery got better as you went and you had to kind of stick with it through that first part of the first season.
Yeah, no, totally can see that. Well, that's the thing. I think the show has changed and almost, in a sense, kind of reinvented itself, but it's at the loss of what I think the original like intentions were. And, you know, this was all supposed to be about, a smaller family group and what they're going to do and how they survive and blah, blah, blah. But it's turned into something completely almost different. Which is, yeah. I think, what, you know, like a lot, it's like, I think even the showrunner said, it's like a Western set in the apocalypse, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. It's not almost different. It's different.
Because
before it was all about family, you know, mm-hmm. A dysfunctional family, a, you know, modern family with like a, you know, stepdad and a drug taking son and a, you know, daughter that's too smart for her own good and, you know, that kind of stuff. And it was all about them and the people that, you know, their extended family. And there's, I guess, an extended family there, much like there is in The Walking Dead, but that there's only one member of that original family that's there anymore, and that's Alicia. We don't see enough of her, as I think everyone would agree.
Yep.
You know, but something I was going to say with what you said is that it has changed a lot, and I think you know, some of it for the good and some of it for the not so good, and I don't know. So they keep course correcting, and I think that what I'm seeing has a lot of potential for this season, and I'm, you know, hopeful that it'll be a good season. But, you know, a lot of it depends on how things work out. Like, if it's another kind of thing, and I suspect it's going to be, where, you know, we'll see a character in like episode
2, and then we won't see them again until episode 9. Mm-hmm. And they're supposedly in the main cast. That, I don't know. I don't think that plays terribly well.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everything changed in season 4. And I think that's when they probably came up with this whole CRM crossover. Like, you know, like I'm sure there's, you know, with the movies, with what happened on the main show with Rick, like that is when it seems like, okay, that's when they decided like, hey, we're going to kind of go this other direction. And then we're going to do like, and then we'll just start doing stuff to get there. And
yeah.
Because it's like season 3 to season 4, completely different, you know, like not even the same show.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly by season 5, in season 5 is where I think we started seeing CRM and Isabelle and that whole thing. But that's where the time and distance problems started occurring and, you know,
yeah.
all that stuff. Anyway.
But anyways. all right. Well, did you have anything else really to say, Brian? Awesomeness?
I guess I was surprised that Howard was at Strand's side. I wasn't expecting that. So I guess that's an awesome. I think Strand has the potential to be an awesome villain, so I'll give that an awesome sauce. And although I know Renee hates him, which we'll hear soon enough, and I get that. And I don't know, but I think there's the possibility of some good drama this season. So we will see.
Yeah. Yep. I kind of feel the same way. So fingers crossed. All right. Well, I guess then let's go into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
And we have two listeners' weak sauce. And I'll start with Dieta from Detroit. And she said, the fact that Victor's new group and building are radioactive free due to a downshift in the wind, they can have a garden on the rooftop out in the open while wandering around maskless. I need a map of where the submarine supposedly was and the distance to where Victor's new kingdom. So we are supposed to believe he had enough time to ride a horse from the sub to the building before the bomb went off. I believe I mentioned that in my feedback from last season. Everybody miraculously survives the bombs safely. Like thinking face. I know. Suspension of disbelief. I kind of had the same. There always has been a distance issue. We've always had these kind of things. It's like things just happen. But you know, it is again suspension of disbelief because this is just how they're going to make it work. Like, just like how everybody still has gas and power and all this other stuff.
All right. Well, we got some feedback from Aaron from the internet. He says, yet another man is pining over Alicia. Where's the women who pine over her also? You know they're out there. Ha. Given what happens at the end of the episode with the guy, I'm fine with it being a dude in this episode, but I'm just saying the women love Alicia too, and it wouldn't kill them to show some girl talking about our beloved leader. I'm looking at you, Al. Stop looking at Isabel and see who's in front of you when she gets there. And she's got hashtag give us a live Alicia already and a smiley face.
I have something to say about that.
Go for it.
Maggie Grace was not in the credits.
Yes, I saw that too. It was like,
yeah. No, she wasn't.
Yeah. And I don't know if that means that she's like not on the show or if she's going to be in the credits once she appears on the show, but she is not in the credits right now. So,
well, if you recall, Brian, back when Glenn was doing the Dumpster Jesus, he was not on the credits either.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like it. Like, when they're still, like, recurring or main characters, their names are in the credits, even if they're not in the show. And it wasn't until those times that that's usually happened, right?
One would think.
But there are some times when they'll take an actor out of the credits. And like, for example, when you don't know their fate, and it has to be, it's one of those things where they have to have the approval of the actor. So like in the case of Steven Yeun, he could have demanded, I want to be in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wanted to be in the credits, they would have had no choice but to put him in the credits. But he agreed that it would be best for him not to be in the credits. So he wasn't in the credits, and that, you know, made it good drama, so that when he showed up in the credits, he was, yeah, it was a surprise. So,
okay. Well, good to know, but, I guess we'll see. I mean, cause she's obviously still in the show. Just, I guess.
Right. I think the article that I saw, I think she had some real life going on.
She had a baby.
Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely real life going on.
Yeah. So. She actually, if you look at her Instagram, she had a baby sometime around December of 2020. So I think that that probably played into it some. So, yeah, because there's some Instagram photos of that, and she's got her baby, and, you know, she talks about, like, you know, delivering a child in this time and what it was like and stuff like that. So,
yeah. All right. Well, let's continue on. That was the rest. That was all of our listeners' weak sauce. And then so we can go into ours. And I will just go ahead and start, since I put myself first in the dock. And again, this is just kind of the same kind of stuff that I always talk about. And it was like, where's the power that Strand has? Like, where is all this power coming from?
From the ocean of solar panels on top of the roof.
Well, but there was a lot. That's not enough to generate power for, like, an elevator. I mean, I did see that, but I was still like, okay, that's kind of, I'm looking at solar for my farm. So it's like, that's not big enough, or we just aren't seeing it. I kind of just saw that and it was like, I'm like, they're doing yoga. They're playing, like, I don't know. It just seemed like there was a lot of power usage going on. And I don't know. I just didn't buy it. Thought it was weak.
Well, those are really good solar panels. I mean, they've got some really good inverters and storage batteries.
Yeah. Where do they find those? Well, I don't know. The sun is maybe brighter in Texas.
Maybe Strand actually it created the Mr. Coffee nuclear reactor.
Well, yes, that would do it.
Or maybe he raided Elon Musk's factory and got some of those new Tesla batteries.
Yeah. There you go. Cool. The other week it was just more about kind of like timeline and like what was going on, because I kept jumping back when I was doing my rewatch, because I didn't quite understand what with Will, like what was going on from what he was saying. And I know he was lying to Strand in the beginning, but then of course towards the end of the, you know, show, it's like he says a lot. But it's like, are we supposed to think that it's been just 50 plus days since the bombs went off, or it's been like, you know, like kind of how long has it been since that happened? Because I know he was asked by Strand, you know, like, oh, how long have you been out there? You know, he said 50 some odd days or whatever. And before that, he was saying that he was with some people in Oklahoma or with the senator and like some of his aides or whatever. But then that turned into them going and basically learning that Alicia, you know, that he was in the same place that Alicia got locked up by Teddy. So I don't know. It was just like
a little bit of a time frame issue, perhaps.
Yeah. There was a like just kind of a time jump or just something going on where I was like, it wasn't being very explained very well, because he did say when him and Stran go to the the Franklin or whatever the hotel was called.
Yeah.
So when he gets there, like he tells him that he's like that he was there, and then Teddy's like people like came in, or his scouts came in and killed everybody, and that he was hiding or whatever, and then they locked them all in there. And so it was like him and Alicia. Like he said, there was like 128 people there. And it was like, you know, like this is the same place that Teddy locked up Alicia, because that's where they were all going to go hide out originally, wasn't it? But then it was like, okay, but then what, how did, like, I don't know. It got confusing for me, because it was like, you got kicked out, but that was after Teddy came and killed everybody. And then Alicia somehow escaped, or you had time to, you know, be with Alicia to do stuff. But, you know, it was like, it wasn't very explained very well, because I had no idea, like, okay, are you lying, or like, who are you exactly? Which I guess we'll never know, because he's dead now. But it was just like his connection to Alicia and this whole bunker thing with the senators, and then Teddy coming in and killing everybody. And it was like, wait, then who's Alicia like supposedly like governing over? Because Will got kicked out of that. So I don't know. It just, it to me just got really conflated, really confusing, really just like there was just a lot of stuff being said that I just kept going back and looking at it, and it was just not matching up. So I don't know. I just,
yeah, there was a lot going on that made me scratch my head.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's just bad writing, or if it was just like scenes were not completely hashed out, because it just didn't make sense. Or I guess this is, you know, maybe Will wasn't actually who he says he was. I don't know.
Well, it was establishing the time frame for this, because they had enough time to go in there and plant all those little plants, and all the little plants had time to die.
Mm-hmm.
There was the question about who was in the bunker and who showed up and who killed whom and where did they go.
Mm-hmm.
And for your time frame thing, the question that I had is, so why are there still fires burning? Why are trees still burning if it's been more than a month? Because I don't, just from what we've seen, I don't think there's any trees that big that would still be burning over, you know, if it's 50 days. That's a lot of charcoal.
Yeah. Well, on Mars, those fires were burning for 15 years. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's the wrong show.
Yes. Wrong show.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I just don't see that it would sustain a fire like that for that long.
For that long. Yeah. And, you know, there's still rain, because we obviously saw some rain. So it's kind of like, well, and then that led me into the other part too, that was kind of a weak, was just like, okay, where, like, Strand built this community in a couple months, you know. It was like, where did these people come from? You know, it was like, he sure went to work fast and basically has a lot of people. I mean, it looked like a lot of people that were in his little community. Yeah. So it just, yeah, it was the time frame, everything was just kind of all over the place. And it was like, okay, I guess we just have to, you know, go with it. And, you know, Howard being his lackey's second in command or whatever he is, you know, it was kind of like, okay, we saw you before, you just met him, and it looked like you were just kind of more like hiding from everybody, to being like, right, oh, you're now like kind of like the henchman, you know, for Strand.
Yeah. So Brian, what do you think?
I did not understand how this area was an oasis in a sludge of radiation and radioactive dust. It seemed like, I don't know, something born out of season 5 of this show. You know, just, it didn't seem to make any sense to me. And if there was an area that was untouched from the radioactivity or whatever, I would expect it to be larger than just that one building. Not because from what they made it sound like, it was literally like that building. And if you went, you know, 100 feet to the left, 100 feet to the right, 100 feet back, 100 feet forward, it was bad lands again, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the part that I just had an issue with. It just didn't seem plausible to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree with your take. Where did all those people come from? How come they seem to be okay? You know, how did they pick up yoga so fast?
Was there a yoga studio?
Maybe Jenny was running her yoga studio on the side in Walton.
Yep. Yeah, that is just
and where did all these lackeys come in? Like he had, you know, these security or thugs that were, you know, already
his rangers him. Or whatever.
I think those were his people from whatever place he had established in Virginia times.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of.
But yeah, I was wondering where all these Strandians came from. And, you know, the only thing I can think of is that he basically went back to Pleasant Ridge or whatever the name of the place he was heading up for the pioneers and just said, you know, okay, boys, we got some new digs. Let's get in the wagons and let's move on out.
I'm not going to leave you stranded.
Now I get to rant about two topics that I feel that I must. While they were doing a good job about wearing protective gear, how they were wearing the protective gear sort of left me a little cold. Because if you're going to wear a hood, you don't wear the hood baggy. If you're going to have something that's like a raincoat or something to protect you, the typical thing would be is you seal the sleeves with some sort of duct tape to keep the dust from getting inside, because that's sort of the whole point of having protective outer garments on. I will give them big points because they actually did do what appeared to be a proper decontamination process on Will when they brought him to the tower. However, they didn't do that every time they came back from somewhere that's out in the wilds. And the whole way that you're going to keep your place nice and clean is that if you decon every time you come back in, because you're going to pick up those bits of radioactive dust and dirt and things on you. Because part of the problem of the nuclear blast area is that the initial surge of radiation is long gone. But what happens is you have dust and particulate matter that were stirred up in the blast and thrown into the atmosphere that has the radiation in it. And that's what will make you sick from having all this dust and, you know, contaminated food and whatnot. I thought it was good that he made a point to say, don't get wet in the rain when it's raining, because it'll start rinsing the fallout out of the air. But if we go back to our time frame thing, there is going to be a point where there's no more in the atmosphere to be washed out by the rain. It's all going to be on the ground. That was when I started going, okay, so how long has it been? Because that stuff's not going to stay up there infinitely. And with the wind blowing and what have you, it's going to move on. Because, you know, one of the things they talked about for us older folks that remember when Chernobyl was a thing, that the particles of radioactive dust and material in the atmosphere moved in the clouds and scattered and, you know, dispersed, so that people were picking it up continents away, but it was not in the super concentrated, going to cause you a lot of problems levels by the time it got there. So if it had rained, if time has passed, then most of your radioactive stuff is going to be on the ground. So yes, cool idea about the rain, not so cool idea time frame again. So it's nice that they're, like I said, they're throwing some, actual stuff in about keep covered and, you know, wearing a gas mask and all that sort of thing. The problem too is if you wear a mask for any considerable period of time, you're going to need replacement filters because the mask that Will had on looked like it was an old mining or industrial type mask that's got the hose out the front and the little box that was about chest level.
Yeah.
That's the filter case. If you're out in the hot zone and you're breathing, all those radioactive particles are going to be in that filter. So eventually the filter is going to become less and less effective and more radioactive. So you've got to get rid of it and get another one.
Yeah.
Now, some of the masks that Strand's people were wearing had the external filter, which is a good thing. So all you have to do basically is get in a relatively clean spot, unscrew the filter, chuck it, get a clean one, screw it in, pop the cork, and you're good. The older masks that people were wearing, the filters are actually inside the mask. So to do a filter swap with one of those, you have to be in a clean space. You have to be somewhere that's not out in it. And the actual exposure, if I remember the manual correctly, if they're full of radiation, you just chuck the mask and get a new one because it's so cumbersome to actually manipulate the mask and pop the filters out and you're handling it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, my big week for this as a whole is still time. When did the bomb go off? When did all this happen? And, you know, how long has it been that, you know, where did all these people come from and where did they go? You know, I'm going to rant about the bunker in the hot sauce, but that seems to be the question of that all of us are asking. Where did all these people come from that Strand has? Where did all the people come from that were in the bunker, and from whence did they go?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot going on. And then the time, it got confusing and just wasn't making sense. And then,
yep.
You know, what you said about all the, yeah, like, I mean, that's what I kind of thought too, was like, okay, yes, it's like at some point, yeah, all of the radioactive particles that were blown up in the atmosphere will eventually move on or, yeah, get washed out from however, you know, unless that was the first rain to ever happen, you know, and then it was also the cloud, like there was no wind, you know, but, you know, it's like they're acting like they're surviving after their first, like, initial explosion.
Right.
And then
is that they've got stuff built up like they've been there for months, but yet they're doing things that are acting like it just happened.
It happened, right. Yeah.
And so it's kind of like pick one.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, that's all you had for your week sauce.
Yes, it is.
Let's go into the what sauce.
What?
And we have one from Aaron from the internet, and they say, where were the horsey gas masks? These people act like they have an unlimited stash of horses to use in the future. Protect your pet squads.
Well, if I'll put my historian hat on, they actually did have horse gas masks in World War I. That is actually a thing. They had chemical suits for horses. The problem is that was a long time ago. And I don't think that they don't have the equipment to make horsey gas masks. Cause I don't, you know, outside of antique shops, I don't think there is such a thing anymore.
Yeah. It's not like the horses are being really used anymore. And
it would be really tough to field improvise one, because you are talking about a very large, skittish herbivore. And I don't think they'd be too happy if you put like a bag over their head to try and make some sort of mask.
Or covering their face at all or something like that. They do blinders, you know, but not covering their mouth, I'm sure. It would not go well.
I could see that going very bad, very fast.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was the only what sauce that we got. Thank you, Aaron. I kind of brought mine into the weak sauce. And again, timeline that we already talked about. So, LT or Brian, one of you, do you have any watts?
I think my what was my week, more than anything, like the whole, like, how did it get there kind of thing. Beyond that, I can't really think of anything, that was what worthy. So.
All right, LT, do you have anything?
Well, my what goes back to something we've already talked about a little bit. I'm just confused about the bunker. So you've got a bunker. It's designed to house all these people for an extended period of time. There are resources. There are power. There's food. There's shelter. You know, there's obvious things that one would need to survive. And the group that was there left. Mm-hmm. And then once the group that was there left, no one else moved in.
Right.
I just, when you were talking about how did Strand do all the stuff at the tower, I'm kind of going, the bunker is a lovely place to be, because I'm sure that you could do a little renovating outside and it would be defensible. You've got lots of food, lots of places to sleep. You've got air ventilation. You got power. You got furniture, tile floors, a roof that doesn't leak. I'm having a real hard time justifying why you would leave possibly one of the most cherry places to be in a, you know, post-nuclear exchange Texas. And I said, why would you leave? Were the, you know, social issues so bad amongst the people that were still there that you had to, you know, put on your raincoat and your mask and your boots and head out somewhere else?
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't really make sense.
Yeah, I'm just really, really struggling with that one, because I don't think they told us quite enough, and Will was waffling so bad about whatever happened between him and Alicia. I'm just like, it just doesn't make any sense to me why, even if you had two groups that were fighting, if they were going to fight over the bunker, you would think that whoever survived would have kept the bunker.
Right.
I want to know more about what happened, who was there, where did they go, and why did they leave?
Yeah. No. And are we going to get that information, or is this just gone and they're, you know, like Alicia is the main thing that they're like looking for? And, you know, it was like Will was even talking about how, or like whenever they were at the lighthouse and the walkers were all coming, you know, when it was all foggy and stuff like that, but they were all wearing like blue jackets. And he was like, I know those. He's like, I know who those are, you know, because it was from the bunker. But right. But you're right. But it's like, okay, are these the 128 people and the senator, or was this Teddy's people? Or is this like somebody else? You know, it's like, I mean,
exactly.
And then obviously,
who are these guys?
Right. And obviously you were there with Alicia or Will, because you got somehow exiled, and she had enough time to paint the painting.
Yes, to paint a big freaking mural.
Right. And then leave you a note on the, it was just kind of like, I don't even know what's going on with this bunker because it doesn't seem to really even add up to like Teddy knew this place. Like he locked Alicia in there. So like, wasn't this his bunker?
Well, we know he's dead.
Yes. And we don't know really where his people that...
Yeah, where his random minions ended up. The only thing, when it said Padre, the first thing that made me think of is Padre Island, which again is fairly close to that neck of the woods, but it's still, depending on where the bomb fell, I don't know if that would be such a great place to be either.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll find out. I just, again, I'm just struggling with the fact if you've got somewhere that's nice, why did you leave? Because this isn't like the prison. This isn't like any of the other places that the main show group has for some reason abandoned and walked away from.
Yeah, this was like a functioning, still functioning.
There are no walkers in the bunker. Yeah. You know, so I'm just still, why'd they go? I want to know.
And that pops the question in my head too, is like after Strand saw that and then ended up using the lighthouse to kind of cut himself off from the rest of the world by like having walkers basically come and swarm the place on the outside. It's like, isn't there like a lot of supplies and gears that were just sitting there unused that you could have, if not moved to the bunker, you could have emptied it out. But oh no, instead we'll just grab the lighthouse light and call all the walkers to surround us so people can't get to us.
Well, and it always goes back to, if you build a good enough wall to keep everyone out, you have now also effectively kept yourself in.
Yeah.
that's the only real what I have for Strand's lighthouse theory, because, okay, so now you've surrounded your hideout with a wall of walkers. What are you going to do when you need to go get parts or a water filter?
Right. Unless there's some secret tunnel, but then that's a weakness. Well,
of course, there's a secret tunnel, or he thought about that, or whatever.
Or they have like a hang glider thing; they can just fly over it. I don't know, but
yes, they have a zip line.
But then, how do you get up a zip line?
you have a rope on it, so then you just winch them back up.
Oh yeah, guess that's true. Oh, alrighty. Well, we shall see, won't we?
We shall, because it is only the first episode. So
no, true. We're not.
We have a whole season to figure out what's going on.
All right. Well, then let's go into our sad and aw sauce. And we had one from Aaron from the internet, which I think she kind of mentioned this before. Where the F is Alicia already, show? It's been far too long since her face was on screen. They know people watch for Alicia, Dum Dum Carrie. And here's the rub. They know people watch for Alicia and Alicia. And so the longer they can drag it out, the more they can keep original fans around. So I am over it. Let's see her face already. I'm sure some of this is because, Alicia has moved on, which is why I say I won't be surprised if Strand and Alicia take each other out at the same time, since they don't use her on the show she used to main in, but I miss our girl and want to see her more of her sad face. Dieta actually asked a question later, which we'll get to that in the feedback. But, you know, we kind of had this happen in last season where, mm-hmm. like, not only because there was the pandemic issues or whatever, but it was like, you know, they were holding characters off and it was just kind of like we were getting like, and we kind of see it in the title cards, you know, in the beginning where it's just like, okay, Strand this is his episode. you know, and he's the only figure in that opening, you know, title sequence. And then, you know, maybe next week, I think might be, Morgan. And so maybe it'll be just like, you know, it's the Morgan episode, and then we'll all of a sudden get, you know, because we still have, June and, you know, like Al, and maybe they'll get an episode. So
well, we know that June and John Sr. are in the bunker. They're in their own bunker.
Or in their own bunker, right. Yeah, with that, with the, well, if that family, if they were still with them or they took off. But yeah, it's like, are we going to get all these like, individual episodes of just this, you know, certain characters, and then it all kind of, you know, comes together, and then we get the group, you know, because I mean, even like Al and all them, they're with the CRM.
Yep.
So we have no idea. Are we even going to see them this season at all? I mean, I think she's, you know, like Al, like there's, you know, pictures for the season.
I think we will, but it's still going to be, it's almost, this is breaking down into the anthology show.
Yeah.
So you're going to have like the helicopter group, and you've got Morgan and Grace and the baby, and you've yeah. got June and John Sr. And now we have Strand and the Strandites in the tower.
Yeah. So, yeah. But where's Alicia?
You know, that's a good question.
That seems to be then, you know, is this about Alicia this season, or is this about Stranded Morgan? And it seems like with the, you know, the graphic and all that, you know, what they've, you know, put out there, that they're showing a Strand and Morgan face off, or like, you know, like that's kind of like, okay, well, that's what the graphic for this season is. But you know, it starts off though, it's like, oh, you know, it's about where's Alicia and Strand, mm-hmm. and like Strand's feeling for Alicia, or Strand even like saying like, you know, she considers, you know, her family. So is this like about Alicia, or is this about, you know, like what is it, or is it going to be about both of them at some point?
But, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Aaron. We'll go into our sad and awesome. I think I actually have the same one as you did. So, LT, go ahead.
Well, my sad sauce was Will seemed like such a nice guy. It just sucks that we only got him for one episode. I mean, I liked his character. I thought that he played, you know, several scenes where he was, you know, he was emotional and he was desperate and he was thinking he was making headway with Strand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then he got the Hans Gruber off the top of the building. So, yeah, I thought the interview they did with him on Talking Dead was really good. And it sort of hurts me a lot more thinking, yeah, this guy's pretty sharp. I mean, I enjoyed his interview, and it's like, too bad he's dead.
Dead, yeah.
You know, they pretty much did a Game of Thrones on him. They brought him in, they built him up, they dropped him off a building.
So. poor
so
Will.
What do you think of your character, Ned Stark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, that's the Sean Bean syndrome.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll bring him back in flashback like they did Nick
after he died. I suspect, just based on what they said on Talking Dead, I'm betting we're going to get an Alicia and Will flashback episode.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking we would get.
Yeah. So. Well, and they've already made a point that, like, okay, Will was in love with Alicia, or yeah. like, you know, Strand accused him of that or said that or whatever. So that only makes sense.
I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see it in his eyes and the way he was talking about her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the things that he was saying about her was only things he would really say if you were in love.
Yeah. You know? And find out what was the thing that she asked him to do that he wouldn't do that got him banished.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what Meatloaf said. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Oh, goodness.
Whatever that is.
Any more sad and awesome?
Well, I think the only other thing that's sort of sad for me at this point is, you know, we've seen Strand evolve, that you saw him go from a hustler and a grifter to kind of a stand-up guy back to being a hustler and a grifter. And I think this is, you know, the final evolution of Strand, the hustler and grifter on a power trip. You know, I think this is going to be his ultimate form when given the opportunity and no constraints to exercise his will and power. So, as we have already said, we shall see.
Yep. Nope, I agree with that, though. He's definitely been kind of pulled back and forth between, I think what he said was, what did he say at the end? Where he was just like, the weakness was like not trusting his instincts, but like the weakness.
Yeah. And just the note of that, Colma Domingo is one of the executive producers this season. If you've got a say so in what happens and you're in it, but I really look forward to seeing what he does with the character, because he has done such a great job, even in times where I think that he outacted the source material he was given.
Yeah.
So I think that's just going to be, we'll see what develops.
Cool. All right. Well, that's all our sad and awesome. Let's go into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
And we have a voicemail from Renee. Yep, she gave a nice voicemail, and some of it's about just like from, I guess, previous Walking Dead, but then she goes into some of her feedback for this week. She wanted to give some written feedback, but I don't think there's, you know, she didn't make it in time before our deadline. So we will definitely cover whatever she adds, you know, for this episode next week. But let's get on with her voicemail.
But it's worth saying that she said she likes to send in feedback this way because she feels like it connects with us better. And I would say I agree. And that's why we love getting in voicemails, because it's much more like, we love written feedback, don't get me wrong, but voicemail, it just seems more personable.
Yeah.
I guess you could say, you know? So anyway, great to hear from you in advance.
Yep. All right, here it goes.
Hi, guys. This is Renee from Atlanta. I like calling in because, I mean, I don't mind doing my feedback online, but I like calling in because it's, I don't know, it just seems like when I call in and it seems like I have more of a personal relationship with you guys when I call in. So that's why I always call in. I just wanted to say, LT, great job. Kyle, you are so funny when you were trying to read my comment and you couldn't get shouty, and LT came behind and he was like, shouty, LT, you did a wonderful job, because that's exactly what I was like. Daryl, seriously, come on now. The faces that you're making are ridiculous. But yeah, you did a wonderful job, LT. And then you also did a wonderful job with the etches when you was like, what was it that she said? I can't even think of it because I was laughing while I was at the gym. I can't even think of what Deanna said. But LT, you did a wonderful job. Brian, you did a wonderful job too, a couple of weeks ago when you were saying baby, because that's exactly how I say it, baby. But and LT, I want you to say, you mentioned Starship Troopers. OMG, I used to love Starship Troopers. I used to watch that movie every day. I used to love when they say Ratchet Roughnecks. That used to be my favorite part. I used to listen to that part over and over again. So that way I get to phase way into what I was calling about. I wanted to know if you guys have seen C. I have been meaning to ask you that. Have you seen C with Jason Momoa? Momoa, then Mimosa. Evidently, I want me a Mimosa. But Jason Momoa, who used to play on Game of Thrones, Khal Drogo. I wish you guys, even though it's gone off now, season 2 has ended, I wish you guys would do a podcast. Think about doing a podcast next year when it comes back on. That show is so freaking good. I mean, it is Game of Thrones good to me. And they got a saying on there. They say, check, check. I love when they say that. That's like, once you have a little saying on the show, it's like I become infatuated with it. But yeah, I just wanted to call in. And Scran, Negan, I'm through with him. Scran is the new person I hate. I cannot stand his ass. It's like, Scran, you're not ever coming back from this. You pushed that man over the wall for no reason. Like, Scran, you're never coming back from this. I did not like you, but I tried to, because you seem remorseful, so I tried to be a little bit more understanding and to say, okay, at least he's remorseful, but no, you're not. You're the new person that I cannot stand. So get ready to hear about Scran every week. Every week, every week, every week, every week. Okay, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, Renee, as always, for your voicemail, and glad you're enjoying the podcast. I'm not sure if we will cover the new Game of Thrones spinoff.
What she's talking about is the Jason Momoa series that's on Apple Plus.
Yeah, it's
Apple TV Plus. C.
Oh, that one. I say the same thing,
Renee. I keep saying Jason Mimosa, but it's him and it's him and Batista.
Yeah,
it's like the post-apocalypse Viking show thing.
Yeah, but isn't that already on? Or is it a new season?
Yeah. It's on.
I've seen the commercials, but
yeah,
it's on Apple and. I have a fairly fruit-free existence, so, and it'd be another streaming service, and I'm already kind of booked up.
Yeah, so, I got something came up on my phone, was it yesterday, that offered me 4 months of Apple TV Plus for free, and I was like, maybe I could do that, but then I started thinking about it, and I was like, not right now, if I can help it, not right now. I do it in a few months, but not right now. But I believe Ruthie's seen that all the way through.
Okay. I
think she likes it, but I haven't seen it. I don't get Apple TV Plus, so.
And I would love to, but considering right now that we're going to be book solid with zombies, then we're going to be doing the stuff that we're doing in case I have to do stuff. I know Brian will be tied up with Star Trek, and I potentially could be tied up with Star Trek, and Kyle may be tied up with that, and Hazelnuts, and whatever else he's got going in real life. Honestly, if I was going to, and I'm going to say this out in the open, if we were going to do another podcast, I personally would like to do The Expanse just because.
Yeah.
Or maybe when it starts coming out, if it comes out before I'm, you know, too busy, you know, the new Babylon 5 series redo would be lovely.
Well, I will go out on a limb and say if God, I don't like to make commitments like this. But
don't commit, Brian. Just yeah. Be nebulous. Be nebulous.
Okay. I will say that if Babylon 5 becomes a series, we're going to do our damnedest to cover it. That's what I'll say. I'll say that that's not a promise that we will cover it, but we're going to try. That's the best I can say. We will try.
And all I have to say to that is, Mr. Garibaldi, my good dear friend.
And as far, and I know, Renee, you mentioned it before. I think the new Game of Thrones, whatever that show it's called.
House of Dragons or something.
House of Dragons. That would be another series that we would try to cover. I don't know for sure if we could, but I would certainly want to try. Doesn't necessarily mean that one of us would cover it, but it would be nice to cover it on the network.
Yeah. Yep. We'll see where time is. And then, yeah. I mean, because that's still Game of Thrones was next
a lot year? Of it. A lot of it right now is, you know, right now the network has three active people that can edit, and that's you, me, and Kim. And Kim, thankfully, will be handling all of the Prodigy stuff, so we don't have to worry about that. And I don't know if James does any editing or not. He might, but if we can like bring on some more hosts that can edit, then our ability to, you know, or, like in if if LT and Ruthie can start editing, and any other hosts that we bring in, if they can start editing, that starts to give us the ability to host more things. So
yes, agree.
So bottom line is no commitments, but we would like to.
So wait and see.
I'm just going to say, I've said about three times more this week than I planned to, just so you know.
Okay.
I know you know, because I've said it on in chat, but I'm just telling listeners, I've said about three times more than I was going to say. It was just going to be like a hi, bye, but I've been working in the background. But
well, right. So you're multitasking.
Yes.
You just can't resist.
Yeah, I know. A lot of what I'm doing right now is repetitive, so I'm reformatting code, so it's stuff I can kind of do
at the same time,
in the background. Yeah. So
cool. All right, Renee, thank you for the voicemail as always. And we shall see about the future, and also looking forward to your feedback for this episode next week. All right. Well, that leads us into our feedback from Dieta, and she says, Victor is a true a-hole. He basically took the building from that guy who was there already, can't think of his name, and made him his minion. What a jerk. He is looking for Alicia. Why? I don't know, feeling kind of lost with the storyline. Last season, him and Morgan fighting, I'm the sub because he wanted to be the one to stop Teddy to redeem himself from Alicia. I'm sorry, why is this a storyline now? Why is Victor so worried about what Alicia thinks about him? He has already shown her who he is countless times. Alicia knows better. Good question. They did kind of have their little face off, but I don't know. So much, like, there was, you know, she was pulled away, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of like, they had their little moment, but I don't know if that was enough to be all like, oh, well, Alicia was just like, I'm writing you off. Like, I don't feel like they had like a conversation really. I don't know. And she goes on, I was so confused with Will. Everything he said nothing. He wouldn't tell why he was asked to leave or what Alicia asked him to do. Will really thought bringing Victor to her would, get him back in, not understanding what Victor's obsession with Alicia's approval is. Will trusting Victor after Alicia told you who he was literally his own mistake and got him tossed off the roof like a rag doll. Victor must be leaving this series because I don't see him being able to come back from this. And the better not do the Charlie redemption story, all is forgiven, we are one big happy family now storyline either. He needs to be ended in either by Morgan, Alicia, or Daniel. Daniel has always had a dislike and not trusting for Victor for good reasons. And that's a good question. I've heard being like, oh, it could be an Alicia strand. But, you know, don't forget about Daniel. They don't like each other at all.
Well, he did shoot him.
Yeah, you know, yeah. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if something's going to happen to Victor and he's going to be killed, you know, it's like I can see Alicia and him fighting some battle. We already kind of think that Morgan and him are going to have some battle, but like, you know, Daniel.
Right.
That could be interesting. And then sidebar. So I read in some blogs for Fear the Walking Dead that Alicia wasn't able to come to the States and record due to COVID travel restrictions. So that's why she isn't in the season as much. It said she will show up towards the end. Have you guys heard this? Overall, okay episode, not too impressed, but expected for Fear the Walking Dead. Shrug, shrug, shrug. I heard a little, but I was trying to find it whenever I read this comment. I don't know if there was anything about her not being able to make it due to COVID travel restrictions, but I thought that they, you know, had recorded or like they filmed a lot of this, you know, last year during, or was it last year or whenever they started filming it early? That it, right. Like, there was a lot of interruptions, a lot of stuff going on. And then it was like, okay, then they, you know, had to like stop and then they, or pause. And then they came back and they were able to do some more stuff. But whether or not that was, you know, they maybe changed some things, I haven't heard that. It just, she's, you know, maybe they're doing something similar to what they did last season where they were just focusing on individual characters or groups or whatever. And then we're just getting those episodes first. And then we'll have something coming on with them all together at the end.
Right. And I don't know where she lives. I'm assuming if it's travel restrictions, she lives in the UK.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
No, she lives in Australia. And there've been many lockdowns in Australia, and depending on which state that she lives in Australia, you know, they've had some severe lockdowns. Like, I know, like somebody like Ivagora from Picard, you know, he's gone back and forth. But then again, I don't know if he's from the same state as Alicia Debnam Carey is. So right. his travel restrictions may be less if, like, say one is from Sydney and one's from Melbourne or Perth or something like that. So, right. You know, a lot of it depends on that because it hasn't been – those travel restrictions haven't been the same depending on what state. Like, they've done a lot to restrict state travel there from what I've read. So mm-hmm. Like, not like here where it's difficult for them to restrict state to state travel. In Australia, they heavily have restricted state to state travel. So that's what they've been trying to do to eliminate the spread. And it's kind of funny because when I hear about what they've done to eliminate the spread and I hear like how many cases of COVID that they have, like they have had in, you know, a year and a half, what the state of Florida probably had yesterday. And no, I'm saying that sarcastically, but it's,
well, don't, I mean,
yeah,
I think that, somebody said they locked Sydney down for like three cases.
Yeah.
And their lockdown is way more strict.
Yes.
Than ours were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we do know that she is, she didn't announce in her Twitter or something like that she's directing an episode of Fear the Walking
Dead. Yeah, she is directing an episode. So obviously she did come back.
Yeah.
And that, the fact that she's directing may have something to do with her being in front of the camera less, mm-hmm. You know, because if she like, and I don't know which episode it was that she actually directed, but you know, if she was like shadowing directors for, you know, the first half of the season, and then she directed an episode in the second half, that might explain why we wouldn't have seen much of her, but I don't know. Like, there's so many different possibilities there. She may have stayed in the States for a lot of the time, especially if she knew that she was going to be coming back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, there's, I don't know, but
I haven't heard anything specific. That was my thing where it's like, I felt like I heard something, but not necessarily specific to like, oh, this is why we're not seeing her. This season was because of her being stuck in Australia or something like that. So we'll maybe hopefully get some more news. All right. Well, thank you, Dieta. LT, you want to take Glynis?
Okay. Well, Glynis from Toronto says, the routine Will had and trying to live each day in isolation in that Fallout atmosphere sure was bleak and sort of compared three ways people can survive in the apocalypse. A, like Strand and Company, with dictator managed survival with all others doing all the work. B, like Will, just eking out an existence with monotonous routine. C, like the strippers, with mayhem and take no prisoners attitude, just shoot and ransack and pilfer. Strand has gone down the path of no return by killing Will. There is no redemption path left for him after that deed. That beacon is not a guiding light offering salvation to all, but it's like a lighthouse. If you venture too close, you'll end up dead on the jagged rocks. Does Strand really want to have a showdown with Alicia or show off his kingdom to her, as she won't be impressed with his tactics of how he got his community going and manages it, besides having killed Will, which she'll feel responsible for since she threw Will out of the bunker community? However, there are similarities here between Alicia and Strand, where Strand vets people to join and sends them on their way if they have nothing to offer, and Alicia banishes people too in the case of Will. Wonder what Will did to cause that extreme punishment, with it being so treasured outside in the Fallout. So is the idea that all the split-up groups headed by Morgan, Alicia, Al, the strippers, and the CRM will converge on the beacon while General Strand looks on from above surveying his kingdom?
That's an interesting question.
Yes, it is. And thank you for that, Glynis.
Yes, always good, great feedback. That made me think. There's like that's the thing. There's so many possibilities. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, and we have no idea where they're going to go with this. So hopefully, it is, you know, the season stays good and interesting and entertaining. They don't do something silly. But then there is Morgan still. So,
yep,
he might just decide like, hey, forget all of them. Let's all join together and record videos and leave them on the side of streets.
Let's go find another place and hold hands and sing Kumbaya and plant turnips.
Yeah, I just, that was such a hard one to go through. All right. Well, that was all of our listeners' feedback. So we can go into our own. And you kind of already talked about this, and I just put it in there just because it was kind of like the cliffhanger for the episode was Padre. It's like, what is it? You know, is it what you were saying? That was like, it's an island near there? Or does it mean something? Because I think they were just throwing out like, oh, you know, it's just a thing, or is it an idea? Or, I mean, obviously, there is an episode named, and I can't remember, I was trying to pull it up. I believe the last episode of this eight, for this first half season or whatever, is titled Padre. So that could start fitting more of like what you were just saying. That, you know, it's, what would you say? It was
right.
Padre Island. So, I mean, if that's kind of in that same region near them or whatever, because it's south, isn't it near Corpus Christi or something like that? Or, so, I mean, I could see like there's some kind of traveling, or her group traveled or something like whatever, and this is where they're at, and there could be a big battle there, or maybe Morgan's going to make it out of the submarine and push it out into the ocean.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
I mean, is it close enough?
You'd need a lot. You'd need a lot of walkers pulling to move a submarine.
Well, you never know. He could be very resourceful and have some idea. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. Did you have anything else to add? Because I think
I think we've pretty well hit everything I was going to hit on.
Well, then that leads us into our World Beyond feedback, which
World Beyond.
Yes, I am still looking for a sound effect bumper for that. So I will just do.
You don't know how appropriate that is this week.
Yes. As much I didn't get really much of a watch on this, and I don't really have a whole lot to say.
I did, and I'm still kind of going, okay.
Yeah, that was my – I kind of – we'll get into it because I'll just give my first reaction thoughts. So, all right, World Beyond Season 2, Episode 3. Titled Exit Wounds, written by Renard McClendon and directed by Aisha Tyler, which unfortunately I didn't get to watch Talking Dead, so I know she was on there. The description is an attempted grift leads to a precarious situation. Huck is given an ultimatum as she readjusts to her old life. We got some listener feedback, and I'll start with Dieta, and she says, Dieta from Detroit says, I am so lost with this show. I'm trying to figure out the storyline, but I will keep watching for the connections. She gets shrug emoji.
Glenn Serrano says, she gives it 7 out of 10. It's just corduroy.
That's all I have to say about this episode. Thank you, Glennis. It's the corduroy effect.
Yep.
It's the corduroy effect. I believe my like or dislike of this show has something to do with how much corduroy is in the episode. Because if it has a lot of corduroy, I don't like it. Yep.
So we're going to have to go on the BCS, Brian Corduroy Scale.
Yes, sir.
I like that. Oh, my gosh.
So I'm going to give this one a 6 Brian Corduroys.
Okay. Well, do I want you to read Glennis's feedback?
Or, yeah, I just said.
After. Okay. Are you going to make the whoop whoop noise?
Oh, because you're going to talk about Elton.
She said, it's nice that Elton is at last reunited with Iris after the runaround with the other two members of the Perimeter Settlement. So there'll be love in the air for World Beyond with Elton and Aisha, with Iris and Percy shirtless in order to tend to his bullet wound. I don't know if I'll have the patience to watch these duo teenage love scenes play out. And of course, there's also Hope and Mason's hint of romance. Just no, I can't be bothered with that storyline.
As soon as they turn into this, it's like, you know, it's like my heart sinks because the first two episodes were really good. And then they started turn into this, you know.
Apocalypse 90210.
Yeah. It's like, you know, let's go to the, what they always go to in the 90210, the some shake shop or something.
Oh, the peach pit.
The peach pit? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So. You know, let's go to the peach pit and, yeah.
And hang out and drink lattes and
stare
at each other.
Say things like, you killed my mother. Cause you know, that's coming.
Oh yeah.
So, she goes on and says, the ritual that Aisha performs on the dead walkers was unusual and sweet. Their walker kills also looked as if they'd been trained by the CRM also. Yeah, it was unusual and sweet until she spooned their eyeballs out.
it was unusual and sweet and weird.
Yeah.
But as soon as I suspected, when I saw the two of them and their wagon – and saw the way they were dressed, I said, I guarantee you that they live in the art commune because they're wearing some hippie ass clothes for the apocalypse.
And
was I right? Of course I was.
Yep.
It just seemed a little too metaphysical for the apocalypse, I should say.
Yeah. Just a comment that she says, like, maybe trained by the CRM. Like, I mean, at this point, everybody like that, the artist community and stuff like that, they've all, like, you know, we saw them, like, even at the campus colony, is like there's training going on. So maybe they do kind of the same thing. The only thing I thought, though, is just the fact that it was like, I'm kind of a little over everybody doing this, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, like spins and like this, when it's like, you just need to stab them in the face. Like, why did you need to like slash them? And then like, it just seems so like this overly choreographed to basically do one thing, just poke them in the face.
What is it, they run like water or something? What is it they say?
I can't remember.
I've been watching too much. I watched Dune again the other day, so it's like, you know, I will move like a reed in the wind.
That, yeah. See, but, you know, I see that and I think of, I used to call it this. Sorry if anyone loves this show, but I used to think of it as Crouching Tiger, Hidden Boring.
Well,
anyway,
my thing is, I did not have a problem with them doing their thing, because I could imagine all the people at the art commune getting up in the morning and doing their, you know, their Tai Chi forms. So that was not too far out for me to think, okay, well, they're going to be really stylized and florid in all these movements because it's, you know, I learned Kung Fu from the guy who does kanji art or what have you. So, the problem that I had with it is, it's like you said, you've got, you know, Percy and Captain Corduroy out in the wilderness amongst themselves, and they happen upon someone, Captain, and Alden tries and he at least tries to do the, you know, the normal friendly negotiation. Oh, hi, we're lost. How are you? We're really hungry. And of course, Percy does the obvious Percy thing and says, well, I'll let him do the, you know, the innocent friendly distraction while I sneak over into the wagon and steal stuff. I was amused at the fact that we finally did get the payoff for the corduroy suit.
Yes, that was about the only thing I was like, oh, okay, finally, that we get to see that.
The part that I was kind of getting kind of, I don't know, annoyed with is, for all the stuff that Hope is doing that I'm thinking, okay, she's getting the lay of the land, she's figuring out how things are going. And what does she immediately do? She immediately falls into the, I'm smarter than you. I'm going to be a smart ass in class. I'm going to find some guy that's throwing an illicit kegger in the basement, and I'm going to hang out with all the rebellious, drunk, smart kids. And on a side note, so in the apocalypse, I guess that you still got some hair product.
Well, she's had that from the beginning.
Not her, him.
Oh, him. Okay.
Because I was going, did they have the Costco-sized bucket of, you know, dippity-doo or whatever you put dippity in your hair?
Well, you know, one could argue if he is a spy, which you could argue that he probably is, they already know that she likes to do this kind of illicit partying because she's done it before. Mm-hmm. So this whole thing could have been set up just to lure her in, you know, and set up to gain her trust and, you know,
and then make her feel at home.
Right.
Let her slip.
Yeah. But, you know, I will bring it up again, and this will be my take until the end of this show. 100,000 people do not equal a smart, untrained teenager.
Yeah.
There is no math on this planet that can make 100,000 dead people equate to a bright but untrained teenager.
Well, and I guess the problem that one of the problems I had is I like Huck's character up until the point where I'm going, okay, you're a Marine before the apocalypse. You're now doing all this stuff for the CRM. You're supposedly some, you know, fairly senior military person. Why are you letting an 18-year-old girl guilt you into doing something that you know is going to get you in trouble and be suspicious? I'm like, how? Why? No. Now, granted, they did have to figure out a way to get the sisters back together.
Still.
But I think this is just going to set up something bad. And maybe that's what they're trying to do. But I don't trust the people at the art colony. I'm glad that Alton has some, you know, his little new teenage romance. But I'm wanting more. I'm wanting more from the show. I want some answers. I want to see some people other than Kublik that are in charge.
Oh, yeah. You got to see that. I am the very model of a modern major general.
Of information, animal, vegetable, and mineral.
Yes. We got to see that guy.
Yeah. Because we keep hearing about him. I want to see him.
To that end. And I don't know if I brought up this point, but it's the same way, same topic about 100,000 people aren't worth a smart but untrained teenager. Why not just ask the smart, untrained teenager to, hey, come on over to where your dad is and we'll give you an education. Why not just ask her? What is she going to say? No?
Right.
Chances are she's going to say yes, especially if they say, well, bring your sister along. Like, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Zero sense. Until they answer that question to me, I am going to be frustrated with this show. beyond belief. And
yeah,
I'm still going to keep watching it because I have to know what is the answer to it. But the moment they answer it and the moment it's bad, boy.
See, this is getting to be, and I hate to use the analogy, but I will anyway. This is getting to be why there are so many secondary wrecks after there's a wreck on the interstate. Because everybody's rubbernecking and trying to see what happened. And at this point, it's like watching a slow motion wreck. It's horrible, but I can't avert my eyes because I want to see what happens. And the part that annoys me the most is last week, I started really liking Hope's character. I started, you know, getting some feels for what she was doing. And then damned if she doesn't do the same thing she did before. I'm going to be a smart ass. And then I'm going to sneak off and get drunk with some illicit hooch. And she found her dad, and what's the first thing she did? She snuck out.
Yeah.
You realize you made me do a spit take, right?
Score.
I did a spit take.
That's what I live for.
Yeah. My only reaction was just like, I just kept thinking, I'm like, oh, there's the kid show. And then I kind of like wasn't really paying attention too much other than, oh, the Delton got the corduroy show off of like, oh, look, it's my armor.
Well, and when she stole his suit on Talking Dead, he went on for like 15 minutes talking about the fact they put him in a union suit with a butt flap.
Okay.
And I kept, and you know, Hardwick kept going, oh, it's like old West underwear. And I said, dude, they still sell union suits with butt flaps. You can still buy long johns.
Yeah, those still, yeah, that's, those.
But it was just the fact that they took away his corduroy suit, and what did he wear underneath? But the, you know, the old West prospector union suit.
Anyways, I really don't have much to say. I didn't really care for it.
Just the last thing that Glynis said is yes. When Iris was working on Percy, it was almost, at least they didn't play the Righteous Brothers in the background. it didn't turn into like Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore.
No swell music. And all right. Well, let's just leave it at that.
Wait. I got to do one more thing.
Okay.
And for everybody that's too young to remember that, it was a movie called Ghost. Ask your mom about it.
Oh, goodness.
Jeez. Okay.
All right. Well, let's continue on because, yeah, this, I again, like, I mean, I'll just make quick, you know, it's like the first two episodes had me intrigued. And Brian, you have all the points to make about, like, yes, yeah, so why does it cost that many humans' lives for this one girl or two girls or whatever? But, you know, it's like we had some really interesting episodes. But this one, I just remember, I just kept it up, oh, kids show. And I don't know if this is because I just don't like Elton, you know, Elton He's and Percy. The one,
you know, and I'm not sure if in real life he's the youngest. I think he is.
I think so.
But there's just something about his character that makes the other characters that much younger. And, but it wasn't just that. It was also like, Hope acting like a high school, you know, kid getting into trouble. Like she was basically acting like she did before, being a smart ass, you know, acting like she's not paying attention, but then she, you know, professors, the professor, you know, and which is, you know, like a typical trope. And it just, you know, it was kind of just dumb.
Oh, and I have to throw this in there since you mentioned the professor. Do you remember the professor's name?
No,
nope.
Well, I can't remember his name either, but I do know that he's the guy supposedly that Eugene was talking about was Dr. So-and-so of the Human Genome Project.
Get out of here.
Really?
That's him.
No way.
Way?
Was that something that, Aisha Tyler? Oh, Hardwick mentioned. Oh, see, I didn't get to see.
But yeah, he said that's the same guy that Eugene mentions.
Micah, what was his name again?
It was Dr. Ellis.
Oh, yeah. T. Boone Ellis or something like that?
Yeah.
T. Brooks Ellis?
T. Brooks Ellis.
Yeah, that's what I have under.
He said, the smartest man I ever met happened to love my hair. My old boss, T. Brooks Ellis, the director of the Human Genome Project, he said, my hair made me look like, and I quote, a fun guy.
That's awesome. Oh, good one.
But that is...
That's cool, though.
That is supposedly Dr. T. Brooks Ellis.
Wouldn't that be awesome if, well, see, we can't because that's far in the future. But if somehow we see, you know, at the Commonwealth, we see that same, you know, scientist, he shows up at the Commonwealth and he's like, Eugene.
Yeah.
It's like, Eugene Porter.
And Eugene be like, see, I told you.
Well, the only one that would remember that would be
Rosita.
Rosita.
Yeah. Yep.
So I believe the others are no longer.
That would wrong. Be correct, sir.
Oh, no, Maggie. Maggie was there. Maggie was there.
Yeah, but I don't think Maggie was there for the conversation, but who knows? I just thought I'd bring that up. I just
That's cool. All right. Well, yeah, let's move on from World Beyond. I'm just hopefully next week will be better. All right. Well, let's take us into our news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right. So we have our, since the last time we had ratings, good old showbuzzdaily.com is back up and running because we had to scramble there for a few weeks near the end of Fear when that show or that website went crashing down. But now it's back up and fully running. So we have their ratings. It says Fear the Walking Dead season 7, episode 1 came back with a 0.26 in the 18 to 49 with 1.087 million viewers. That is up, we say, from the season finale's 0.20 in the 18 to 49 with 1.045 million viewers. And we couldn't get the 25 to 54 and 50 and over because it was on a different site last, the end of last season. But we do have it here. It was 0.38 in 25 to 54 and 0.61 50 and over. So actually not terrible considering, you know, it's more than half of what Walking Dead ratings are right now. So it's better than it was at one time in the separation between the two shows. So The Walking Dead World Beyond actually did fairly well, losing its lead in of The Walking Dead and coming back with Fear. It retained like more than 80% of its rating. It got a 0.16 in the 18 to 49 with 669,000 viewers. That is up, that is down from 0.19 in the 18 to 49 with 807,000 viewers last week. This week's Talking Dead, it's actually down, but it wasn't down that much. It was a 0.07 in the 18 to 49 with 295,000 viewers. That is slightly down from 0.08 in the 18 to 49 and 303,000 viewers. And if you remember last week, we were complaining that it had gone down like an entire 100,000 viewers from the previous week. And we're like, what happened? And we're saying, it's because of Omaha. They killed everybody in Omaha. Anyway, so just wanted to remind people of that little.
So everybody thing. In Omaha had the Nielsen boxes.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I forgot to look at the parrots. So just give me a second here and I have the parrots from last week. So let me look at the parrots from this week here. Okay. So The Walking Dead is actually up from last week, I guess probably because it was the mid-season finale. It got to fourth place with 47.1 times the average show, demand of an average show. And so it was up two slots with 47.1 times the demand of an average show. Last week, it was at number six with 44.4 times. And this week, it is at number four with 47.1 times. The number one, of course, yet again, the perennial number one, SpongeBob SquarePants, actually down a couple of points, but retaining its number one at 71.2 times the average show versus last week's 74.6 times the average show. Number two, but at a, you know, rising, is Saturday Night Live. Actually, no, I'm not reading that correctly. I am. Sorry. It is up, but remains in the number two slot. Saturday Night Live got a 68.9 times the average show versus last week's 66.1 times. And My Hero Academia with 51.7 times versus last week's 50.4 times. So, yeah, big jump by The Walking Dead, obviously, because of it being a or the end of the mid-season. And we've yet to see Fear appear on this list, unfortunately. So,
yeah, I wonder if it's because it's tied to Walking Dead or they do actual individual. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
If it's like, it yeah, could if it's like be. Encompasses them all or.
Yeah, it could be. We've certainly seen it, like, for example, when Game of Thrones has been, when there's been like trailers for the new, you know, Game of Thrones universe show, demand for Game of Thrones has gone up, which is amazing. 2+ years after the show has ended, we're still seeing it show up on the parrots. Like, it's still at number five this week, you know, just under The Walking Dead.
A lot of people that like that, you know, binge it, I'm sure.
Yeah. And that Squid Game that you mentioned, what was it, last week? It's at number eight this week. LT.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to be the thing.
I know. I'm like, it's tempting, but to like get Netflix again, but I'll just hold off.
I don't know a thing about it, and I, like you, I don't get Netflix, and
I'll wait until like Stranger Things or like when there's other things that I do want to watch, and then I'll just be like, okay, cool, there's Squid Game, I'll just watch that.
Yeah, I have a whole there's a whole list of things that I want to watch, but that I won't be watching until certain things occur. So, you know, until those things happen and money's available to get new streaming services, I'm not buying those things. So, you know, like The Mandalorian, that's one I definitely want to see. I only seen season one. I definitely want to see season two. My reluctance to see season two, what'll probably be season three pretty soon, is not because I don't want to see it. It's just that I haven't had it. It was on during Discovery at a time when I just didn't have time to go. I didn't want the distraction. And, you know, I'll go back and watch it. And I'll catch up and, you know, I'll love it. But, you know, it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. I love Star Wars, but it's not Star Trek to me. That's Star Trek is the thing for me. It's never been Star Wars. You will never see like things like flip phones and, you know, iPads that came out of Star Wars. That's all. I rest my case.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Anyway, sorry if that upsets anyone, but that's just me. I love Star Trek. I don't try to hold that back anymore.
No, and I don't either. I'm like, I grew up with Star Wars and Star Trek, and I just like Trek better.
I love Star Wars. Don't get me wrong.
I love OG Star Wars.
Yeah.
Not, I don't like any of the newer ones. I kind of like, I mean, some of them are good, but I, it, you know, like, we'll talk about it another time since this is not a Trek versus Star Wars podcast.
Right. Right.
That's a whole kettle of fish. I don't think either any of us are prepared for.
My love for Star Wars has forever been abused by my first exposure to Star Wars, the Star Wars Holiday Special. That was my first exposure to it, and it never recovered.
No way.
It's true.
Yeah, I could see that's pretty traumatizing.
Yep. Yep, it was.
All right.
That's it for me for news.
All right. Well, all right, LT, you want to tell everyone how to interact with us? There is no news this week that I got, so I'll keep an eye out for stuff for next week.
Whatever news there was, we gave it to you when we were talking.
I guess you could say that the IATSE and their negotiations with the motion picture and television producers, there's a tentative agreement there, but it could still not go through, so there's a potential for a strike there. We haven't really talked about it much on this podcast. We've talked about it quite a bit on the Star Trek podcast. But that is something that could affect these shows and, you know, other shows. So just that's one thing we could say that's a news item.
Yeah, because there's potential of it could cause some problems.
Delays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, LT, take it away.
All right. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's @WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can send us email. That's WalkingDead@TalkThroughMedia.com. You can use our feedback form. That's at our webpage, TalkThroughMedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to leave us voicemail, you can call area code 216-232-6146. Remember that all of our new episodes are out on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos go out first before the podcast does to the podcast client of your choice.
And to support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. The best way you can support us is our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, Lawrence Todd, the guy over there, me, and Dieta Patterson. And we are going to continue with the, you know, the advanced first unedited copy, whatever you want to call it, for our Patreon subscribers. So remember that Dieta, Clint, and Renee will be getting an early version of that episode this week. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating and review. And again, we got a review, so we definitely would love more. So go up there and just tell us what you think. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. There you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. Remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us news listeners. All right, Brian, do you want to tell people where else we can be listened to?
Well, we've been doing a little podcast on the Lower Decks, Star Trek Lower Decks, that if I ever get it out, we have one final episode to get out for the season finale. And I'm at the time of us recording this, it is not out yet. We have recorded it, but this person speaking has been pokey. So I've just been busy. I'm very, very much behind on all
on everything right now. And, but we have also been doing the, advanced episodes ahead, and, it has been working out quite well until the last couple of weeks where it didn't work out so well because it just didn't work out. Anyway, just whatever. I'm probably worth taking some of this out. So Kyle, LT, and I have been doing, and by the way, LT, don't know if you noticed, I've changed the settings on the podcast there. So it says, Brian Melosh and, Kyle McAdams and Lawrence Todd for the hosts of the Star Trek Lower Decks podcast. So I finally put you in there. it's been something I was trying to get to for a while, and I finally did that when I put up the episode there. We will be off for the next 4 weeks. And then at that time, the Star Trek Discovery podcast returns. We'll probably have Kyle and LT on there from time to time, but that's going to be Ruthie and me. But starting in 2 weeks, will be James and Kim, who do the Re-Binge DS9 podcast, and they are going to be doing the podcast for Star Trek Prodigy, which is a children's animation show. It'll be nothing like we've ever seen for Star Trek 3D, you know, children's modern animation, not, you know, the old 70s like old-timey animation. So that's going to be coming. They are doing it. I will probably be on the first episode, but we'll be kind of giving them the reins for the final, you know, the rest of the episodes. And we look forward to see how that one turns out. So it'll be a slightly different style than the rest of the podcast that we do, but I'm happy. It'll probably be more in the Re-Binge DS9 format. It should be fun.
Looking forward to it.
Yep. So that's what we got left going.
Awesome. All right. Well, the next episode is Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 2, titled 6 Hours, written by Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg again, and directed by Michael Satrazimus. Description, and I got this from YouTube TV because I don't have AMC Plus. It says, as Morgan, Grace, and Mo struggle to adapt to life on the submarine, a food shortage forces them to face the nuclear fallout outside the sub. World Beyond is Season 2, Episode 4, and this one is titled Family is a Four-Lettered Word, written by Maya Goldsmith and directed by Aisha Tyler again. Description is tensions rise as the group questions past events and plans for the future. Things get explosive as someone's ability and loyalties are put to the test. A surprising discovery is made. Alrighty, so until next time, I'm Kyle.
I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.